Hello, brethren. Here we are enjoying another Sabbath, another opportunity for us to come before God and learn from the words he has for us through his speaker. Brethren, every Sabbath we come together to hear what God has for us through his servants. And sometimes it's easy to overlook this, to take it for granted. But this truly is a blessing for us, brethren. Our calling is a true blessing. We learn every week, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, direct from God. The words that he places in through his ministry, through the sermons that we receive, is incredible what we get and the instructions and the growth that comes from it. Brethren, let's not overlook this as a true blessing, something that the world has no understanding of yet. They will come to see it in the millennium, but right now we are so truly blessed to be able to observe the Sabbath and come before God and hear his instructions and learn and grow from it. This calling, brethren, at this time truly is a blessing for us all. Brethren, the journey that took the Israelites out of Egypt began with a calling. This calling was when God called Moses. God had heard the cries from his people, Israel, and called Moses to bring his people out from the oppression of the Egyptians and into a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's look at the account of this. Let's turn to Exodus 3 and we'll start in verse 7. That's Exodus 3 and verse 7. This is the account of when Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, and God spoke to him from the midst of a burning bush. And God explained to Moses who he was, that he was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And in verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." And in verse 9, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." In verse 10, "Come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And in verse 11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children out of Israel?" So, brethren, here we see that God had seen the oppression of his people and had called Moses to go to Pharaoh and to bring his people out of Egypt. Whilst God had called Moses, Moses wasn't necessarily eager to follow. Let's drop down to Exodus 4 in verse 1. Exodus 4, verse 1. "And Moses answered and said, But they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, The Lord did not appear to you." So here we see Moses pushing back. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in your hand? And he said, A rod. And the Lord said, Cast it on the ground. And Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, Put forth your hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod again in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto you. And the Lord said furthermore to him, Put your hand into your bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And the Lord said, Put your hand into your bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it had turned again as his other flesh. And in verse 9, "And it came to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto your voice, that you should take of the water of the river, and pour it onto the dry land, and the water which you have taken from the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So, brethren, the Lord had shown Moses some amazing things that would be evidence that God was working with Moses. However, Moses still was pushing back, and we see in verse 10 he talks about his slower speech and of a slow tongue being another reason why he shouldn't go to Pharaoh. Brethren, does this sound familiar? When we were called, did we push back? I know that I certainly had some struggles initially when I was being called. And it was at that time I had no comprehension of what I was being called to. I look back now and find it quite amazing that I pushed back so hard initially, when I now see how blessed I was to receive this calling. So, brethren, once Moses had accepted that he was to lead the people, God's people, out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey, into their promised land, he moved forward. As part of this journey to their promised land, the Israelites faced many challenges, both physical and spiritual. And by spiritual, I'm referring to their own beliefs, their own ways of thinking, their own traditions that they had at the time, and of course their human nature, which is different to the spiritual challenges those who have God's Spirit in them face, although those with God's Spirit still have the challenges of changing beliefs and human nature to contend with. Today we're going to look at the similarities between the journey of the Israelites as they moved towards their promised land and the journey we face as we move towards our promised land. The title for this split sermon today is Our Journey. Brethren, when we hear scriptures read during sermons, how do we think about the particular scripture? This question came up recently when I was discussing a particular sermon given during the feast. The person who I was having the discussion with commented that for him it was like playing a little movie in his head. He could picture the various things happening as if it were a movie. Brethren, how do you process the scriptures as are given during sermons, or when you are reading or studying God's word? Most of us think in pictures. That is, if I mention a word, most of us will create an image in our heads or our minds relating to that word. For an example, what do you think of if I say the word fruit? Most of us will have an image come to mind of either a single piece of fruit or various pieces of fruit, maybe an orange or banana or a fruit platter. Similarly, when I mention the word jaguar, some will have the image of a large cat, a wild animal. Some may have the image of a luxury motor vehicle. Well, the more physically blessed among us may have thought of the motor vehicle. However, I'm sure you will see what I mean when I refer to us as thinking in pictures. So when we hear or read scriptures, we create an image of what we are reading or hearing. Brethren, we need to be careful with this, as sometimes we are influenced by what we may have seen presented in a movie or a piece of art. An example of this is a recent movie, Noah. In this movie, it showed the ark in a way that was not necessarily accurate relating to scripture, but was presented in a way that better fitted the direction of the movie. It would be easy to have seen the movie and banked the image of the ark as it was displayed in the movie. By that I mean, you could take the movie and what you've seen in it as a fair representation or an accurate representation of what the ark actually looked like. And this may not be the case. There was a very famous painting completed in the late 15th century by Leonardo da Vinci, The Last Supper. This was the artist's impression of the event. And as the artist was being paid by the Catholic Church, there would have been influence by the church as to what they wanted the painting to display. An example of this is having Christ presented with long hair. Another is that they were all in the painting, they were all sitting on the same side of the table. Whilst we don't know the exact details, you would expect that they would have sat around the table rather than all on one side. obviously, unless the table was against the wall. However, we don't know definitely, as the painting was created as an image. However, many in this world see this as what actually happened. Using art, both sculptures and paintings, in this way was something that the Catholic Church has done many times in history. By paying the artist to produce what they have wanted to demonstrate as factual and creating the images that have helped support what they have presented to the people. A very good example of this is all the paintings and sculptures that display Christ on the cross rather than on a stake. Through the influence of the Catholic Church and through the sculptures and paintings they have specified and pay for, the world sees the image of Christ on a cross rather than a stake as factual and has banked this as what actually happened. So, brethren, we need to be careful when we think about Scripture that we don't create the wrong image of events due to any external influence that may take away from the actual meaning or message that the particular Scripture has for us. As we move through the various Scriptures and comments today, you will create images or little movies in your mind, and this is perfectly fine. However, we need to be careful not to bank these as to how things were in the past or how they might be in the future, as only by talking to one of the 144,000 who have lived through the time relating to the Scripture can give you an accurate picture of what actually happened, and only living through what is coming will give you an accurate picture of what we are looking forward to and what we will be able to pass on to those that come after us. We know from our own experiences as part of God's church that what we think will happen and what actually happens doesn't quite work out the same. So, now on with the sermon. Brethren, as we wait in excited anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, why are we so excited? What is it that we have that the rest of mankind does not have? Brethren, we have the blessing of a calling. As Moses was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, we too have received a calling. We have been blessed with God's calling. We did nothing to earn this. Our calling was God's choice, and God alone chose who he would call. As with Moses, we were not initially excited to be called. We each faced our own challenges relating to this calling. However, in time, each of us accepted this calling. We're baptized into God's church and through the laying on of hands of a minister in God's church, received the impregnation of God's Holy Spirit. Through this process and over time, we were given the blessing of understanding of God's word and have come to see God's great plan. And through the promises he made, we now see our promised land. This promised land is not far off for some of God's chosen ones. Most of these are awaiting a resurrection, but some few who are alive today will see this promised land in just a few years' time. Brethren, let's look at the instruction given to the Israelites from God and what they were to observe and to do so that they could enter their promised land. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 4, and we'll start in verse 1. We will be spending some time in Deuteronomy comparing the instruction given to the Israelites in entering their promised land and coming out of Egypt and the influence of Pharaoh and Egypt on them with our instruction as we move forward towards our promised land and the removal of the influence of Satan on us. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. Verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor. The Lord your God hath destroyed them from among you. But you that held fast to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Brethren, here we see the instruction given to observe the statutes and judgments, or commandments of God. We also see here where God has sounded the warning for the Israelites to remember what they had seen, what God had done to those who did not follow his commandments. In verse 3, the Israelites were reminded of what God did to those who worshipped false gods. Baal-peor is identified in Strong's as a Moabite god. And in verse 4, those who held fast to what God had commanded are alive. Brethren, we too at this time should take heed of this warning. We have seen what God has done in his church to those who have not followed his commandments, those who began the journey with us but are no longer with us at this time. If we desire to enter our promised land, we must hold fast to God and follow his instructions. And as we move into the millennium, we are to be reminded of what we would have seen and what God has done to those who did not repent, the millions that will have been destroyed during the next 3.5 years. Brethren, if we continue to follow God's commandments through God's blessing, we can complete our journey to our promised land. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them your sons and your sons' sons. Brethren, if we look forward to the millennium, and for those who live through into this time, can you imagine what you would have witnessed? We are not to forget what we will have witnessed, and we are to ensure we teach future generations the things we have witnessed. Let's now move down to Deuteronomy 4, and we'll start in verse 32. So Deuteronomy 4, we'll start in 32. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and asked from one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing, or have been heard like it? Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? Or has God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Verse 35. Unto you it was showed, that you might know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you. And upon earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. Verse 37. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought you out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before you, greater and mightier than you are, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance, as it is today. Verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in your heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. You shall keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days on the earth, which the Lord your God gives you forever. Brethren, there are great learnings for us from these scriptures. The Israelites witnessed great things, physical things. They witnessed the plagues of Egypt. These plagues were significant and were all pronounced by God through Moses before they occurred. They were also stopped through the same process, demonstrating the great power and might of God. The Israelites witnessed this firsthand. When they left Egypt, they took their possessions and the treasures given to them by the Egyptians with them. And God led them by day in a pillar of cloud and by night in a pillar of fire. How incredible this must have been to witness. I can imagine the little movies in everyone's minds right now. However, when they reached the Red Sea and saw Pharaoh and his army pursuing them, they were afraid and had forgotten what God had already demonstrated, his great power. When God parted the Red Sea for them to go through, he again demonstrated his great power to the Israelites. However, it was only a few days before they began going back to their old ways. Brethren, we have experienced a similar situation in church, but on a spiritual level. God pronounced through his prophets what was coming to the church, the apostasy, and what would happen following this great falling away. God took his spiritual treasure from all who were in God's church. He vomited his entire church out of his mouth. Through God's blessing, a very few who had been vomited out of God's mouth were called back into a relationship with God when God re-established his church on earth through Ron Wineland. God provided these few with his spiritual treasure again to carry forward into a relationship with him. However, over time, the prophecies given to the church and the witness of these prophecies occurring were forgotten by many within the church. They became lukewarm, and as a result, their spiritual treasures were taken from them again. Many of those who lived through the apostasy and who were called back into a relationship with God are no longer in God's church. Brethren, this is similar to what happened to the Israelites. They had seen multiple times where God had demonstrated his great power, yet they kept going back to their old ways. It's amazing to think that after many millennia, God's people are still doing the same. What we're going to witness over the coming 3.5 years, it's hopefully will be different because Satan's influence on mankind will be taken away. However, there will be some few that live through into the millennium that fall back to their old ways, that don't continue on and follow God's instruction. Brethren, we can try and imagine what the next 3.5 years are going to be like to live through. But here we have some encouragement. We will look back and have absolutely no doubt about who God is. His great power will have been clearly demonstrated to all those who live through into the millennium. We need to keep our focus and not become lukewarm if we are blessed to be able to enter the millennium. We will have Christ as King of Kings and 144,000 ruling. We will no longer have the influence of Satan and his demons trying to disrupt us. However, we will still have our own human nature to contend with, and overcoming this will be a difficult process. Brethren, for the next 3.5 years, we know we're going to experience significant physical destruction on the earth, but we're also going to face significant spiritual challenges as well, and the choices we make over the next 3.5 years will determine our ability to progress through to see our promised land, whether we live through to the millennium or whether we are part of the 144,000. The choices we make in the next 3.5 years will be a significant factor to determine how we progress through to our promised land. As the influence of Satan on this world is significantly increased in the next 3.5 years, it will also impact on us spiritually. We will be challenged, not only physically, but also spiritually. Satan will continue to attack us with even greater force as he tries to disrupt us and destroy God's plan. Brethren, the further into the next 3.5 years that we get, the greater our challenges are going to be. Whilst currently we enjoy the ability to fellowship on a weekly basis as we come together to observe the Sabbath and listen to sermons and enjoy the fellowship relating to that, as time goes on, the ability to do that will lessen. And with that will come a greater challenge from us, each of us spiritually, to hold fast to what we need to do and to God and to living God's way of life. The world around us will be in disarray, and with the significant influence of Satan on the world, it will become more challenging for us. We will be mocked and ridiculed, and many of us will find this challenging. Brethren, we will be tested. Our faith will be tested, and we need to hold fast to what we have, to what God has given us, and to not let down. If we do this, if we trust in God and hold fast to what he has given us, he will deliver us. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, and we'll start in verse 18. That's Deuteronomy 6, verse 18. And you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to cast out all thy enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Here we see God clearly stating, if we follow his commandments, he will deliver us. As the Israelites were freed from Pharaoh and Egypt, we will be free from the influence of Satan and his demons, and we can enter the millennium free from their influence. Brethren, we have been blessed with our calling. We are a special people to God, and we see this in Scripture. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 7, and we'll start in verse 6. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God hath chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, which kept covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Verse 10. And repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord your God shall keep unto you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers. Let's also look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the character of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Brethren, here we see both in Deuteronomy and in 1 Peter that we are a special people to God, that we have been blessed with a calling. And brethren, we must also focus on the requirement for us to continue to follow God's commandments, God's instructions. As we have previously read, God's treasure can be taken away from us. And many in God's church have experienced this. We need to hold fast God's commandments and follow his instructions. We have no real idea of what is coming in the next 3.5 years or what it's going to look like, either from a spiritual or a physical perspective. We are told in Scripture that the destruction will be such as has never seen before on the earth. If we think of some of the physical destruction man has witnessed in the past, what is ahead of us is significant. How we survive this physical destruction is entirely dependent on our spiritual position. We are at the end of the year of dedication and the measuring of the temple. So what changes in our lives from here? Well, brethren, nothing changes. We do not ease off. We do not sit back and say, well, that year with all the fasting was a challenge, and now it's over. Quite the contrary. We continue with greater vigor and focus and strive to follow God's commandments to a greater level of understanding, transforming ourselves from our human nature and the ways of man to the ways of God, and to follow God's ways. Brethren, consider what happened to the Israelites after they had witnessed great destructions in Egypt through the plagues and on through the destruction of Pharaoh and his army. They quickly reverted back to their old ways. We cannot allow this to happen to us, brethren. We need to be spiritually alert and on guard and more focused than we ever have been. Brethren, what is coming, what is in front of us is physical, is going to be physical, but our spiritual state is what will carry us through. We need to focus on God's instructions, on his commandments. We need to trust in God. We need to put all our faith in God and trust his word, that if we follow his commandments, he will see us through. What has been written in Scripture regarding the Israelites and their entering their promised land is a warning to us at this time. The blessings promised by God are what we can expect if we follow God's commandments. This will not change in the millennium, and as Satan and his demons are removed, it will over time become easier to follow God's commandments. There is a further warning that God provides to the Israelites that is very relevant to us, and this can be found in Deuteronomy 9 in verses 4 and 5. So please turn with me to Deuteronomy 9 in verse 4. Deuteronomy 9 in verse 4. Speak not you in your heart after that the Lord your God has cast them out from before you, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord did drive them out from before you. In verse 5, not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of those nations the Lord your God did drive them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And also we see this in Titus 3 in verse 3. So let's turn to Titus 3 and we'll start in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. Which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Brethren, we must not take our calling to ourselves. The blessings that God pours out on us, our calling, is not because of us, but a gift from God. It is difficult to imagine what our lives are going to be like once Christ returns. We know through Scripture that there will be much death and destruction, which will take many months, even years, to clean up. We also know through Scripture that God will clean up the atmosphere. However, man will be required to clean up the mess made by man. God could, if he wanted to, clean up all the death and devastation in an instant. However, the lessons learned from man completing this cleanup will be a much greater learning for future generations. Brethren, we know we're going to have a work to do when Christ returns, and an indication of what some of this work may involve is outlined in Deuteronomy 12. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 12 and we'll start in verse 1. That's Deuteronomy 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Brethren, there's going to be a considerable amount of work to do. If we think about the world today and the number of false religions throughout the world, there's going to be quite a significant amount of work required to tidy it all up, to clean it all up, and removing all trace of false religion. Brethren, this will take many years to clean up. And as we go through the process of putting things right and cleaning up the mess created by man, we have an obligation, a requirement from God, to ensure future generations know what has happened. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. And we'll start in verse 20. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and severe, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household, before our eyes. and he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he promised unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he had commanded us. Brethren, we cannot imagine what we will have witnessed. We have all seen movies depicting destruction of the earth from storms, earthquakes, and wars. However, imagine the movie with all these things happening together. What little movie is playing in your mind right now? It's difficult to imagine. However, in a few short years, we will have the accurate image burnt into our memories. And as instructed by God, we are never to forget and are to pass this on to future generations. We will also be witness to the change and the shutting down of broadcasts from Satan, no longer suffering the constant barrage of thoughts and negative influence sent out by Satan. A new world with Jesus Christ and the 144,000 ruling. Ron would probably give this a quadruple awesome. Brethren, we are blessed to live at this time. Ever since Christ's resurrection, God's called out ones have desired to see the return of Christ to this earth to rule. Even the apostles hoped that they will see the return of Christ in their lifetimes. And since then, every era of God's church has desired to see the same, the return of Christ to rule on the earth. Brethren, if we hold fast to what God has given us, to his instructions, to his commandments, we have the ability to witness this, to witness the return of Jesus Christ and the 144,000 to rule on this earth. We have been blessed by God with the understanding and the knowledge of when this is to occur. Brethren, imagine, if you will, you have an injury or a sickness, and you're not sure whether you're going to get well again or overcome your sickness, and the stress that this creates. Brethren, imagine if you were unwell or had an illness, but you knew that it would only last for 3 days, that you had 3 days left and you were going to be well again. What would your attitude be towards the suffering or the pain that you may be going through with your illness or injury, when you knew that you only had to endure this for 3 days? This is similar to what we face in the next 3.5 years. Yes, there's going to be significant destruction by weather-related events, by earthquakes, by man's desire to rule and killing of millions of people. The world is going to see some incredible events in the next 3.5 years. And man as a whole is going to have no idea of what is going on. They're going to have no understanding of how long it's going to last or what the end result may be. Brethren, we are blessed with the understanding to know when it will end. This is an incredible blessing. And we'll be able to share this knowledge with those that God calls over the next 3.5 years as they repent and turn to following God's instructions and God's ways. This will be an incredible time for us all. So brethren, in closing, let's focus on the magnificently awesome time ahead of us and continue to be spiritually alert and on guard and more focused than we have ever been.